we can't really speak. Nothing really we could really say. What's there to say? There's nothing to say. But we can't really not speak. Because if we don't speak as a group, and when I say speak, I mean not me speaking. I view it that we're speaking together. We're working together as a family to try to make sure that we are impacted by what happened. Speaking doesn't mean giving reasons for things. Speaking means making sure that we are affected by the pain of Klal Yisrael, by the Ribbono Shel Olam's wrath on his people. And we need to be impacted. We can't just let this go by. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Taniyos, he writes, there's a mitzvah saseh when there's a calamity to daven, to cry out to Hashem. But he writes, avalim lo yizaku v'lo yariu, if we don't cry out, elo yomru dover zem miminaga oilam, that this is something that happens. That's why it was ira lanu tzarezeh. Harezu derech achzarius. The Rambam writes that that's cruel. It's an interesting lashon the Rambam's using. It's cruel. We usually think of cruel as something inhumane, causing someone terrible pain. The Rambam here says that when there's a tzara that takes place and a person just lets it slide, that's cruel. That's cruel. And perhaps on one level, the Rambam's saying that it means that whatever's happening is for naught. If it's just happenstance, if it's just random, then it sort of takes something that was supposed to impact us, supposed to get us somewhere, supposed to teach us something, and it's just gone. But our Rabbeim teach us that the word achzar doesn't just mean cruel. And that's probably not the meaning of the Rambam over here, is cruelty. This is not an issue of cruelty. The word achzar, it's already in Rishonim and Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, means achzar, completely foreign. When a person feels detached, when a person feels disconnected from something, that's called an achzar. You can end up being very cruel when you're detached because you don't feel someone else's pain. So you could do what many, many cruel things. But the real issue is to be detached. And if we don't talk to each other, if we don't speak out our feelings, then we're achzari. We're truly achzari. And part of thinking randomly is a lot of times we can get swept away in how things happen. There are lots of videos that go out and lots of theories about why, in particular, this tzara happened and what could have been done and what should have been done. And that's all part of looking at everything random. Because that's just an external klipa. It's a shell of what happened, and it causes a person not to think about the brothers who were nifter, groups of brothers, people from virtually every part of Klal Yisrael, every chelek, from Brisk to Mir to Shalavim to Toldis Aaron, the entire spectrum of Klal Yisrael. And we tend to sometimes get caught up in carry, in randomness, in things that are not the point. And we even can sometimes get caught up in videos that seem to be looking at the tzara. There are videos that show you what happened, and when you see something, you're identifying with it. But often that type of identifying is just detaching yourself further. A person looks at this horrible thing and that horrible thing, and by the time they're done, they feel nothing. They feel nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, the Raya de Mehimna, when he was our Roat Son, it says about him, Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe grew up. Vayetzel Achim Vayar Besivlosam. He saw their pain. Moshe did go to watch. He did go to watch. He knew the power of sight. He knew the power of seeing someone's pain. But Rashi explains, Nasan Einov Velibo Lios Meitzar Aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu watched Be'iyun. He went out. He was in the palace. He went out to see the Klal Yisrael in Shibud, to schlep bricks, to feel how heavy they were, to experience it. It was a deep, deep seeing of what's going on. A deep compassion, a deep understanding. And I would like to just try to, a little bit with you, think a little deeper. That's all. Think a little bit deeper. My Rabbeim taught me how to think deep. I'm trying to think deep a little bit, hopefully with you together, just to give us an opportunity not to be achzari. Whoever is here with us right now is being Mekayim the Rambam in Hilchos Taniyos. Just by being here, we're automatically compassionate. We're automatically thinking deep. It's automatic because we're here to be Mizbainin, to think. Lag ba'omer. Let's try to understand the significance. Lag ba'omer is the day. It's for some people the highlight of the entire year. Lag ba'omer is the end of a period of tremendous avelus. 24,000 talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Mamish, wiped off the face of the earth. Kedoshe Elyon, Malachi Hashem. Lag Ba'omer is the Gilui of Rachamei Hashem. It's the time where Klal Yisrael can start dancing again, can start singing again. It's a time where hidden secrets are revealed, where all of the Kabbalah was brought to the world by Reb Shimon. It's a time of incredible simcha. Lag Ba'omer is a day of avelus now. Lag Ba'omer is wearing sackcloth. The day of Lag Ba'omer is crying. And for all of us, Lag Ba'omer will never and should never be the same. We will never be able to dance the way we were able to dance before on Lag Ba'omer, and we shouldn't be able to. Because this day is a day that marks the yahrzeit of so many tzaddikim, kedoshim, members of Klal Yisrael, so much sorrow. And the Ribbono Shalom wanted this. The Ribbono Shalom wanted this. On the other hand, and we're thinking deeply here, and because we're thinking deeply, we can see things in completely different directions. And that's fine, because we're not looking for answers. We're looking to be affected. On the other hand, who knows? Maybe there was supposed to be a terrible annihilation of large amounts of Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan. And Reb Shimon beseeched the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Kisei HaKavod, and he was Mamtik the Dinim, and he arranged that Klal Yisrael will take a very painful amputation in order that the entire of Klal Yisrael should be saved, and that Fakert, that Lag BaOmer, the reason this happened on Lag BaOmer is because we needed so much rachman, and we had so much rachman. And in all of the sadness, Borei Olam is showering his love on us, is showering his rachman. The Chafetz Chaim, when he lost his son-in-law, his daughter was broken. And she said to her father, how could this be? He was a tzaddik yisoid oilam. Mamish, from the greats of the generation, we don't know about him because he died so young. And the Chafetz Chaim told her there was a choice in Shamayim. Either a third of the entire world will be wiped away, wiped out completely, or your husband. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took your husband as a carbon. We don't know. We're simple people. We don't know cheshbonos. We don't know secrets. We don't know Kabbalah. We don't know Reb Shimon. We don't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we know that nothing is mikra, that nothing is happening haphazardly, nothing is random. Everything is moving in the direction that Borei Olam wants. And we have to try to be impacted. We have to hear a message. There was a Maisa, I heard this from my Rabbeim in this Nusach, where somebody told the Chafetz Chaim that there was a big tsunami in China. A big tsunami in China. And hundreds of thousands of people were killed, and the Chafetz Chaim started weeping and weeping. The person who was with the Chafetz Chaim said, it's terrible, but weeping and weeping and weeping. And he said, no, you don't understand. He said, imagine in Warsaw, 75% Goyim, 25% Yidden. Somebody gets up in the town square in Warsaw and starts screaming in Yiddish. Screaming in Yiddish. 75% of Warsaw is Goyim. But who's the message for if he's screaming in Yiddish? It's for Klal Yisrael. And the Chafetz Chaim said that even when something happens in China, the Ribbono Shel Olam does it in Yiddish. He speaks in Yiddish. Based off the Gemara that whenever there's a Peronius in any part of the world, it's speaking to Klal Yisrael. And this is a story of the Chafetz Chaim, the way I heard from my Rebbeim, which gave me a lot of chizuk. I heard it from a different version of it from Rav Yitzchak Sorotzkin, but it gave chizuk during Corona. As things were coming to the United States, before he, with prophetic vision, was already talking this way when things were going on in China. I was thinking about it myself right now, that if I was in Warsaw and somebody got up and started speaking in Yiddish, I think I would say, I don't speak Yiddish, and I would just walk right past him. And I think if someone would speak in English, someone would say, I speak Yiddish, and I don't know what he's talking about. And I think if he was Sephardi, I would say, I'm Ashkenazi. And if he was a Toldos Aharon, I would say I'm not Neturei Karta. And I kept trying to think if the Chafetz Chaim's mashal for something very far away speaks to me. I was thinking, if somebody called my name and said, Chaim Doiv, then I would feel like this is talking to me. That's the Yiridas Hadairis. And over here, the Chafetz Chaim's mashal is extended to us. Borei Olam is not speaking in Yiddish. He's speaking in Yiddish, English, Spanish, any language we want. This is talking to us. He's calling our names. All of us are being called because all of us are shayach to this. We all, our yeshiva was on a bus to go to Meiron and turn back. That means Bayri Olam was calling our name. That means this was us. We were there. My daughter was there. She didn't know what she was seeing, but she was there. Rabbi Glazer's son was there. Many Bachrim in this yeshiva lost friends. An alumni of our yeshiva, whose family, that's family, lost his brother. Bayre Olam's not talking in Yiddish. He's talking in any language we want, and he's calling us out. And he's saying, this is ours. This is something that we have to be impacted by. This is something we have to feel. And this is why it seems to me, as I was going through the list of names of the Niftarim, for me, I see someone from Tinek. Now, I haven't been in Tinek in who knows how long. But all of a sudden, Tinek, for me, Bayri Olam's talking to me. He's speaking to me. Shalavim. I have two brothers that went to Shalavim. Brisk. Mir. We have Bachrim and this yeshiva were very close to one of the Niftarim from Mir. I heard a story about this Bachar from Mir, whose Levi is going on around now, that he was giving out incentives to Bachrim to work on Avodas Hashem. This was the type of Bachar that Bayri Olam took his opinion. Somebody who's giving chizuk to Bachrim who aren't there yet, who need motivation, who's taking on a Rebbe role. And the fact that we know them or know somebody that knows them means that Bayre Elam's talking to us. And we all know that feeling when we don't know somebody, but our roommate knows somebody. And that automatically connects us. It's not a fake feeling. A lot of times we feel, well, I don't know that person. I just know that my friend is suffering. No, that means that it's your tzara, because you're dealing with it right now. You see your friend, it's directly talking to you. And perhaps, if we need to be impacted, it doesn't really matter what we're impacted with. We're simple people. We don't know why things happen. But we just know that we're supposed to be impacted. So for one person, he's going to be impacted in one way. For another person, he's going to be impacted in another way. However, to not be impacted at all, and to not to try to be better, and to try to live better, is not an option. It's not an option. For some of us, the idea of brothers, at least two sets of brothers who were nifter, we can't be masig the pain, but it could try to motivate us to make some sort of kabbalah in the relationships that we have in our families. Perhaps we're not close enough or have an argument with one of our siblings or one of our parents, something that could be worked out, but we just didn't have the guts to really deal with it yet. Brothers, the feeling like seeing that we're all together in this, whether we're from Toldos Aaron, Brisk, Mir, Shalavim, Breslov, doesn't really matter, is a motivator for working out something with a friend, some silly thing that just snowballed, and now it just seems like it can't be stopped, but it can. It takes a phone call, it takes a few times going out to eat with each other, and working out the pain, and trying to start again. For others, it's going to be the Kedusha of Lag BaOmer, the fear of seeing the Rabbeinu Sholem's Zam, and his Man of Kedusha, that it feels like we need to be more Kaddush, we need to work on our Kedusha, we need to grow in so many of those areas. Perhaps it would impact someone in that way. For another, it might impact him in his learning, in his commitment to the fact that Torah is a Megan, it protects Klal Yisrael, but it doesn't really matter. It matters that we're impacted. It matters that we grow. And I would like to take about 60 seconds that we should, because I think we're doing each other a favor by taking 60 seconds now. Life is very fast. We're very fast-paced. If we just take 60 seconds, we're going to have just quiet, where each one of us can just think about possibilities of where to be impacted. And then we'll try to think of a couple more in Yonim that we can grow from. Now, just a little bit about a feeling that I have. Perhaps you have this feeling too. It's kind of a strange feeling, an awkward feeling, but it's something that I could imagine that others have as well, which is that a lot of times in this country, when there's a calamity, it involves people dying al Kiddush Hashem, from our enemies, and all of a sudden, they're Kedoshim, they died al pi Kiddush Hashem, and in some ways that's a tremendous nechama, because you see the meaning as part of the history of Klal Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael always going through this galus with so much persecution and leman shem Hashem. But then there are some times where it just seems it's in a lavush, it's in a packaging, the din is in a packaging where we can't really find meaning in it. If anything, it seems like we have a Yetzirah to look into the technicalities of how things happen, and to get angry at either the police or to get angry at people who are in charge of the safety. And it's all because we don't know how to wrap our heads around this. But the Ribbono Shel has ways, like the Chafetz Chaim said. And these ways, in some ways, are more painful and they're more mechaper. To bring a gzeira through very, very special people. Kedoshim, just the same. Because they're a pidyon. If there are people who were chosen to be the pidyon for Klal Yisrael, if these were people who were chosen to remove the wrath of the Ribbono Shel Olam, if these were the people who were chosen to create pain for us, these are very special people. These are tzaddikim, and these are kedoshim. The Gemara says in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Yehei Chelki Mimese B'derech Mitzvah. Rabbi Yosi asked, he beseeched the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should die on the way to a mitzvah, b'derech mitzvah. Very strange request. And the Maral explains that the pshat over here is the way a person leaves the world defines who they are. And Rabbi Yossi understood that if he leaves the world b'derech mitzvah, involved, mitzvahs, going, doing. So the Maral says that's called mechayil el chayil. It's only a glimpse in what the olam haba of such a person is. If this is the grand finale of this person, that means that's the greatest hesped on the person. It's the greatest gilui of who they were. And we can't forget this point, that these tzaddikim, each one of them, tzaddikim, people, mevakshei Hashem, left this world connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam, left this world in tefillah, left this world in emunah, left this world in avas Hashem and avas Yisrael. And that's who they were. And when you start to scratch, you'll find in every single one of the Niftarim these special qualities, that it's a reflection on who they were in their lifetime, and this is how the Ribbono Shel Olam sent them to the next world. Mechayil el chayil. And we have to try to feel the pain. Feeling the pain, like we said, is not to look at videos of how things happen and watching things that are gruesome. That creates actually cruelty. It has the absolute opposite effect on a neshama. We have to try. Person wants to pay a shiva call, wants to be Menachem Avelim. It's a smart way. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went, he didn't just watch something. He entered the world of someone else. Say, why would I go? Why would I go to a Levaya? Why would I be Menachem Avelim? What nichum could I do for these people? First of all, there's tremendous nichum in somebody who doesn't know me, somebody who has nothing to do with me, and took from his time to feel my pain. That is tremendous nichum. But secondly, even if there's no nichum, it's simply for us to connect, to feel what's happening, to take it in, to realize that we had an amputation. When we have an amputation and we don't feel like we're in recovery, when we don't feel like we're in pain, it means that we didn't have an amputation, we're not part of the tzibur. Vayar b'sivloisam, there was a story in the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim was written hundreds of years ago by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and he writes that there was a Yid who every time he would be Menachem Avelim, he would pay a shiva call, he would take off his shoes. because the Avelim had no shoes, he wanted to not have shoes. We could probably think this was funny or shticky, but he was very sincere. He would walk into the house of Avelim, and in order to feel their pain, he would take off his shoes. And the Sefer Hasidim says that this Yid died on Tisha B'Av. And everybody came to his Levaya without shoes. And he writes that it was a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Chavivus, on how treasured it was that a Yid was able to feel someone else's pain. And now everybody else was feeling that loss in the same way. My friends, I shouldn't be up here. I have a responsibility to the yeshiva to be up here. But I'm in the crowd with you. I'm just as lost as you. There are no answers here. We're not looking for answers. We're looking to be impacted. We're looking that this shouldn't just be something that happened and is a distant memory. We're looking that this could also be associated with fixing a relationship that we have with a sibling, with a friend, or some area that we just needed an excuse to grow in. That's why we're here. And that brings meaning, and that brings nechama to all those who went through this, to, so that their pain doesn't go for naught. So that their pain, every Lag BaOmer for them, is going to be a Tisha B'Av. Every Lag BaOmer is going to be a Tisha B'Av for them. It's Ayum V'Noira what happens here. And it's not just a calamity that happens on Lag BaOmer, that it's just that day. The Lag BaOmer itself is a Tisha B'Av for them. The Etzem Lag BaOmer, the dancing, the singing, the fires, the whole thing. This is what has befallen us. And we have to try to make it meaningful. And over the next few days, it's Kedai. If people sometimes, I've heard from Bachram and I understand them. People like to sort of drown out their sorrows by doing something that's very exciting and fun, to just like try to self-preservation. But that's not the way to do things. During the period while there's Avelim, it's Kedai. It's praiseworthy. It's not something you're chayv do, but it's praiseworthy for a person not to be going out to restaurants, not to be doing things that are overly exciting. Of course, regular life continues, and we learn, and we daven, and we play ball, and we exercise, and we listen to music, but we have to be carrying this for a little while. It's praiseworthy. It's praiseworthy. It's healthy to feel impacted on a level that this could last for a few days at least, to just know that they're Yidden and Tsar, and that that's me too. I am part of this nation. It was an amputation that was done to my body. And through this, we should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring hafachta misbedi lemacholi. He should change the hesped to dancing. Just like the dancing was changed to hesped, he should restore that the hesped will turn back to dancing. And it will happen. It will happen. And we wish we feel the tsar a little bit. And we're trying to connect. And Klal Yisrael should know of no more sorrow.